Hope you're having a wonderful day. Chuck Gines with ChuckGines.com, documenting the human experience. We're going to talk about camera gear today and how you can get into photography, digital photography, for very little amount of money. And what I'm talking about is not just getting into it. If you wanted to, the equipment and the type of equipment that I'm going to recommend is something that you could really use for an entire career in certain genres of photography. So a lot of people aren't looking to be a professional photographer. They're looking either to do their own little photo projects, or they're photographing family and life events and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people really want to get more artistic, get more creative with their photography, and are looking for better gear. But what keeps them from that, especially today with all the mirrorless type cameras, is, you know, you need, you know, $5,000 to get into the game. So let me just say about getting used gear, isn't junk gear. This gear that you're going to get is top of the line professional quality gear. It's different than, like, say, like you were wanting to get into playing guitar, and maybe you might get a Yamaha Green Label, which is a pretty good guitar, and it'll carry through to a certain extent. But once you get to the point where you might want to play with other people, maybe play out in public or something like that, you're going to have to upgrade your guitar. What I'm talking about with this camera gear is there is no upgrade if you don't want to do that. So let me tell you some of the perimeters, some of the things to be looking for when you're out wanting to buy a camera system. I use Nikon. You don't have to use Nikon. I'm going to talk about Nikon because that's what I use. But there are equivalents in the other camera brands that you can go and check out. So regardless of the camera brand, the first thing you want to do is you want to make sure, I feel this way anyway, is you want to get a full frame camera. Full frame cameras are normally much more expensive than crop sensor cameras. With the full frame camera, you are shooting 35 millimeter photography. All of your lenses are going to match up. If it's a 24 millimeter lens, it'll be a 24 millimeter lens. On your crop sensors, that's not the case, depending on the crop ratio. The exception to this is if you're primarily into, like, bird or wildlife photography, then a crop sensor camera could do you well. But for most photography, I highly recommend a full frame camera. The next thing you want to make sure is that the camera body that you're purchasing, make sure that it can take interchangeable lenses. Don't paint yourself into a corner getting a camera that has one focal length fixed, because now you're stuck with that, and you're not going to be able to, you know, your lenses are really what's important. The camera body is just capturing what's coming through the lens. So most of your money is going to go into your glass. So make sure that your camera can accept interchangeable lenses. And then the third thing that you want to make sure with your camera body, make sure that you can shoot in full manual mode. All your DSLRs are that I'm going to recommend, you're not going to have to worry about this. But with some cameras, a lot of times you can't get into manual mode. You're going to want to do this because this is how you take full control over the photographic process of being more creative. If you want to improve your photography, you're going to want to shoot in manual mode. So make sure your camera body has, regardless of what the brand it is, has all of those things there. The next thing I want to talk about is lenses, and that's where you can really sink a lot of money. And I'm going to give you two different options in the Nikon world on lenses that you can get that are just absolutely world class. And those would be the old film manual focus AI and AIS Nikkor glass. There, you know, all kinds of reviews out there on what is good, what is iconic, like the 105, which is the Steve McCurry took the Afghan girl with that particular lens. AIS. So there's that whole entire lenses, and this is why I shoot Nikon, because of the interchangeability of the lenses. Other camera manufacturers have changed their lens mount systems multiple times. Nikon just recently, for the first time in their history, have changed their lens mount to the Z mount for those mirrorless cameras. So that opens up this whole entire body of lenses that are going to work on your digital camera body, on your DSLR. And you can just, you can get lenses that you're going to pay $1,500, $1,800 new you're going to get for $150 to $250. It's just, you know, incredible the price difference. In the Nikon camera bodies that I'm going to recommend, if you're worried about autofocus, they have what they call focus assist. There's a little dot and arrows that tell you which way. So it'll tell you when you are in focus on what you're aiming at. There's no focus tracking. I've never used any of that stuff, so I don't even understand any of that. I'm a pretty simple photographer. But if you insist on having autofocus, I would highly recommend then the D series, the AFD Nikon lenses. These were, I believe, 1997 is when they first came out. They were for the last of the film cameras, the F5, F6, F100. I think I'm correct on that. Anyway, they're older lenses. I have several of them, and they work fantastic. Like the 35mm D series is world renowned for just being an outstanding lens. So, like, again, what I'm talking about here is, you know, these are not junk lenses because they're cheap and they're used. These are world-class glass. Every bit is compatible and sometimes even better than the glass that you get today. So, you know, you have that whole entire D series that you can use on your camera. So I'm going to recommend a couple of different camera bodies here, three of them. If you're wanting to get into full-frame photography, the Nikon D700 is a great choice. These can be had right now, a good one, a decent one, between $350 and $500. They're kind of expensive right now because they're a very coveted classic camera. You can go do reviews on it and see that even today people covet that camera and professional photographers use it and dream of that sensor. As a matter of fact, somebody had just did a color comparison of one of the modern mirrorless cameras with a $1,800 lens on it. The D700 looked better out of the camera. But anyway, great camera body. Doesn't have video. 12 megapixels, which I don't know why people complain about that. I've made real nice 20 by 30 prints with it. I do a lot of 11 by 14s. Definitely, absolutely no problems with anything like that. You know, so if you're just doing family photos, and, you know, it would be more than enough. If you're looking at another option is the D800. That's another camera that I had. I still shoot with D700s. The D800 is 36 megapixels, so if you're into landscape photography, that might be a great choice there. Those, again, are under $500. Fantastic cameras. In the crop sensor world, I was shocked to find out. I used to have a D7000. I used to have one of those, and it was a great little camera, crop sensor. And lo and behold, you can get those things in really good shape for $250 right now. Incredible. Right? So get you a good camera body. I threw out some models that would be worth getting. And then, of course, Canon and all the other ones are going to have their comparable, equal models with their whole lens system. So, you know, do your research. I'm kind of pointing you in the right direction there. Then when it comes to lens choices, you know, what are you going to want to look at? Now, I shoot prime lenses, as a lot of people do. And what you're going to notice with a lot of photographers, whether they're wedding photographers, photojournalists, all kinds of photographers will work with two lenses. They'll work with a wide angle lens and they'll work with a portrait or a long focal length lens. For me, that's a 24 millimeter and a 135. You know, guys like Don McCullen had a 28 and a 135. I know guys that use a 24 and a 50. I know guys that use a 35 and an 85. I know some guys that use a 50 and a 105. 50s, I don't consider a wide angle lens. So what I would do is I would go to a camera store and I would ask to see a 28 or a 20, 24, 28 or a 35 millimeter lens. Put all three of those lenses on and off your camera. Take a look and see what feels right to you. And get it and stick with it. This is going to enable you to tell the big picture, the big story. This, you know, the 24s and the 28s are great for being in close quarters and connecting all kinds of things together to form a story in a single image. It's a really great lens. I don't recommend using a 50. Then what I would do is then I would decide what your long lens is going to be. Could be a 50, could be an 85. I mean, you know, 105, 135, these are common focal lengths. So pick your lenses, right? And stick with them. You know, I've used the same 24 millimeter lens and the 135 for almost 20 years now. I think it's like 18 years I've used these lenses. And recently, my wife's getting into wedding photography, so we got a 35 millimeter, and it was amazing how difficult it is for me. And I'm not even interested in switching. I'm so used to those lenses. They're like a extension of my body. And so that's what I roll with, and that's how I, you know, I've learned to use those lenses as my writing tool, so to speak. So that'll get you underway, and then take the money that you're saving, right? And you could run with that gear your whole career. Seriously. Or, you know, you don't have to keep on upgrading, and that's more than entry level equipment. That's really good shit. That'll get you underway. And then you take your money. See, here's where you spend your money. You spend your money in buying really good photo books, right? We're waiting on a Helen Levitt book right now. Get a photo book in your hands. Sit down, get some coffee, get a tea. Really study these photographs. These are not your Instagram, Facebook, all the crap you see online. These are great photographs. That's why they're in a book. There was a vetting process before they got there in your lap. Study those photographs. Notice what the elements are in those photographs, and then try to mimic and to implement those same elements that you're seeing into your own photography. The other thing that you could do with the money that you're saving is that you can put that towards funding your own long-term projects. These things cost money. There's no doubt about it. Gas, time, food, paying models. There's all kinds of things that are expenses, and you'll need money if you're wanting to do a project. Take that money that you're not wasting on gear and feeding a consumeristic soulless world, and put it into your projects. The other thing you could do with your money is print out your work. Follow through with the whole thing and actually spend money and get prints of your work, and take classes and workshops to improve your photography. Those are all great things to continually spend your money, to continually educate yourself. And while you could still have the same old gear that you've had, and let the other people run around doing that, because that's not what makes good photographs. You have to have half a decent equipment. There's no doubt about that. But you don't have to have the latest and the greatest, and you do not have to spend a ton of money, because everything that you see was shot with one of three lenses: the 24, the 50, or the 135 AIS old film camera lenses. That's all I've ever used. Prior to that, I used Minolta. The same focal lengths, you know. So I haven't changed focal lengths. I did change systems, but when I switched from film to digital. But anyway, hopefully that helps you out. Hey, if you guys could share my content on your social media, I know a lot of you guys are doing that. Really appreciate it. It helps the website out a great deal. Also, there's an email subscription here so that you can get notified when I have new content. And you can follow me over on Substack. And I'm about to start opening up one-on-one photography classes, portfolio reviews, and all of that good stuff will be on here again. I've taught photography for a long time. You can check out my photography reviews. They're quite extensive. But anyway, yeah, man, get out there and get into it, and don't waste your money, man. And you don't have to. All right, peace.